Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of property, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our broken legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to face us. You are listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Reveal, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is February 28, 2024. My name is Robin Austin. I'm here tonight with my co-hosts, Lou Ann Fleming.
Hello, everybody. We welcome you to the show right now. We've got a great show coming up. I mean, on popular demand, we are bringing back Leslie Federico. But until then, we're going to go ahead and bring in, let's see, Marcy. I know you have quite a bit to say, and then we're going to bring Hillary on. Go ahead, Marcy.
Okay. Well, hi, Luann, Robin, and everybody else, and Hillary. And hello, America, from coast to coast. I tell you, number one, I want to thank you guys for having me always. And I want to congratulate Wheeler Shepherd. He was my pro bono attorney for a couple of years. And he was sworn in to be a Supreme Court attorney, which is amazing.
Wow.
I'm so proud of him. But so he's very, very ethical. And boy, somebody who knows the Constitution, and he's going to be able to practice law at the highest level. So if anybody is listening to this and you need a great attorney in South Florida having to do with the Supreme Court, boy, he is definitely the one to call. The other thing that I'm very happy about, that Danielle Walsh from ABC News 12, she did a clip today with Kat, and I have a tough time saying her last name. She is with Florida Now, which is a huge organization that I'm being fortunately to be a part of. It's a takeoff of the Now Organization for Women. They have been around for many years. There's a very strong in advocacy to try and they started with children, and now you know they're interested in doing the guardianship. Kat's grandmother was a victim, and so her heart and soul is in this, just like I am. It makes me so angry that these crimes are being allowed, because they can't hide it anymore. It's all over the news. And so they're talking about why the bill did not pass and how concerning it is to the Florida public and the citizens of the United States and the elderly and disabled, how the Florida bar just didn't want to pass it. Then don't quote me on it. I think they mentioned the Florida bar. They didn't like the bill because of the verbiage. And yet every year that we go up there to Tallahassee, we try to convey and explain to them how all these injuries are being done to our families, that we were a group of victims, and they're still not passing these bills. And that's very concerning, because we all have rights to feel safe in our homes and in our country. And Hamas was beginning to think that Hamas is attacking the elderly here. What is the difference that they've done to Israel, you know, taking people away from their homes and taking everything away from them? Well, the same thing is happening here. It's horrible. So it's good that they're bringing all of this to light. And I just hope that Florida becomes a safer place, state to live, because right now everybody's afraid to live here. I'm definitely afraid.
Yeah,
to live here.
I agree. I agree. And I think you make a very good point there, Marcy. It's even scary, you know, like our guest coming on tonight too, you know, she's had some issues going on out there, but she's going to fill us in about what's been going on out there in Florida as well. But you bring a good point.
There's definitely a warfare going on against American people by the instruments of government, and most especially in our purview, we're talking about the courts in America, but we see how those courts are sort of supported quite often by the inaction of the legislative bodies when we're able to find a legislator or a representative who looks at the situation and says, yes, I see what you mean. There's no justice in this country, and we really must do something about it. And we get one that's courageous enough to actually float a bill that will try to address at least some of the inequities in our courts. We have seen over and over numerous times how those bills get shut down by the legal lobby that works so hard to control what the laws are and how our Congress works.
Right.
And so we don't see much getting done.
Right. And we got a lot to talk about.
Right.
We got a lot to talk about, Marcy. We're going to bring Hillary on to say hello to everybody. Hillary, say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, and it's been a good week, a long time coming. But for-profit professional guardian Kathy Johnston, who ran the 20th Circuit in Southwest Florida, instead of standing, you know, for the facing the music, she resigned on her 30 cases. The judge said, at best, it is bad bookkeeping, but it seems like at worst case scenario that a criminal enterprise has been going on with Kathy and the people that work with her. And as they put people into guardianships, they say about our loved ones that they are in imminent danger, and that is why they need a guardianship. But about Kathy Johnston's wards, that they say that under her care, the guardian's care, that the wards were in imminent danger. So what does that say about the system? So we are here tonight, proud, advocating for people we might not ever meet. And we have faced the music in the sense that Leslie Federicos was the only attorney that we had to fight for victims, and now the Florida bar has pushed her out, but we support whatever she does. And again, another great show is about to start, so thank you so much.
Exactly. So congratulations, Marcy, also to William Shepherd. It's amazing that he got that high up, and so congratulations to him.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I also want to put,
it's great.
Yeah, amazing. We got a great guest tonight, but first of all, I want to contribute this whole show tonight to my brother who passed away 24 years ago today. We called him Michael,
wow.
And we called him Monk, after his nickname, but he passed away 24 years ago, and I tell you what, he stays with me every day. I think about him, and he used to say how corrupt things were 24 years ago. I'm like, oh, boy, if you could see it now, you know. So he's with us tonight. And I'm just really glad this month is over with. It's been a hardship for my family because everybody, like my mom passed away this month, my brother, and all kinds of stuff going on. But we've also had some tremendous shows that we've put out there. So it's been a mixed month, but I'm glad to see it going away soon and spring fever is coming. So I'm getting excited about this. Everybody, we've got a great guest coming on tonight. We welcome her back.
Back by popular demand. We had one of the busiest boards I've seen in a long time last week when we had Leslie Federico on our show.
Well, she's coming on, and so we welcome her back. She's got all kinds of stuff going on, and then let's see if we can bring her on. Where is she at? There she is.
Welcome
back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Leslie. Welcome
back to the show.
Hi, Leslie.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, and we talked earlier, and we decided to do a show on prevention. How in the heck can people stay out of the courts, and why would they want to do that in the first place? Can you kind of, like, talk to us about this? I mean, a lot of people say that I have a trust, I have a will, I have documents, I'm protected. What would you say about that?
Well, I mean, I was talking to you earlier today, Luann, you know, about a situation I had. I had someone call me yesterday. Before I got involved, actually when I was in law school, I had my 93-year-old grandfather living in my home. At the time, I was pregnant. I was in law school. And he was in his 90s, you know, and he had heart failure and all kinds of health ailments going on. He was former military, so he did get some services through the military, you know, that he was able to capitalize on during that time. And he had, you know, a small monthly amount of money he got, you know, through his service to the military. I had no idea what guardianship was at that time, so it was nothing I was even aware of, nor did I ever, you know, even think to consult with an attorney. I just said to myself, okay, if I'm not going to be here, my grandfather's health is at risk the way that it is, you know, what can I do to make sure he's protected, you know, if I'm not here all the time, or say I go in my I give birth to the baby and I'm in the hospital for 3 days, you know, I need to make sure he's eating. I need to make sure he's taking his medications, you know, just simple things like that. I just went on to care.com and I found a lady that, you know, was a retired nurse who handled the elderly. And she, you know, I paid her out of, you know, his monthly money that he was getting from his military. And she came in like 40 hours a week and she took him to his doctor's visits. I made a binder. I put all of his medications, you know, that he was to take. Then I also contacted, I had it, you know, sit on the phone for a while, but I contacted since he got through the military, which was a lot of in-home, like, doctors that would come do his checkups in the house, take his vitals, you know, make sure he was okay. And in this entire time, and he lived with me for 2 years, it finally got to, because of, you know, my mother, who was his actual daughter, and what she was doing to him, which I didn't agree with. He had four other kids in Chicago, and eventually I connected with his other kids, and he flew to Chicago where he was, you know, he got an apartment, where one of his kids got an apartment up there, and then hospice ended up coming, and he ended up passing away. But he was never, ever put into a facility. He was never, the term guardianship never even was even something to ever think about. And he was fine. In all honesty, he was fine. I mean, it was like, okay, well, I'm worried. Okay, I have someone come in. If I can't get him to the doctor's visit, you know, it was like $15 an hour. I had someone come into my house using, you know, the money that he was getting on a monthly basis. And that was it. And then I ended up getting into, you know, guardianship law and everything else. You know, obviously, I'm on the other side of the fence when it comes to guardianship. I'm not an advocate of guardianship in any capacity. But I would think to myself, and to this day, I would think, oh, my God, my grandfather was so blessed. He was so lucky, right? You know, because there was some conflict going on between his kids, because he had six kids, and they were all adults. One of them was my mother. And there was some conflict, and there was some, you know, fighting about the inheritance and everything else, you know. And I thought to myself, wow, if they had any inkling or they had gone to an attorney and, you know, had any education in guardianship, I am for sure one of those kids would have filed a petition for guardianship, you know. Thank God they didn't, you know. But my point being is that, yeah, you know what I mean? But my point being is that I think sometimes being too educated in this arena
it makes a lot of people think, oh, I need to go talk to an attorney. No, you don't need to talk to an attorney. A lot of this stuff, you can just get on the phone. You can find out where money's coming from. You know what I mean? Like, you can have them, you know, there was a situation I had with my own child years ago, and it was a big custody battle with my ex-husband, and we wanted to make something neutral. So I had given my mother, you know, power of attorney over my daughter basically my rights over my daughter for a short period of time so she could enroll her in school and stuff like that. But all you need is you get a piece of paper, you get a notary, you get two witnesses, and you say, you know, that this person's in charge of making these decisions. You know, you want to comport with your state on what their requirements are. But I say keep the frigging government out of your business to the best you can. And a lot, you know, if someone's like, oh, well, I can't do that without, you know, without their consent, well, then you go and you figure out, well, how can I, what do you need? Okay, I need a power of attorney. Okay, let me Google search it. Let me find out what the template is. You don't need to get an attorney to do that. You can do it. You know, and you have a form that's notarized, and you go and you make, you know, you present it to whoever if you have to make certain decisions. And then if you need to help them manage their money, you go and you open a joint bank account and you help manage their money. But to me, it's like anything where you involve the government, anything where you involve the police, anything where you involve adult protective services, child services, you're bringing in the state. And every time you bring in the state, you chance something really going wrong. So my take, knowing like what I know right now, is I had some lawsuits going on, and I had really good reason, and I could have prevailed. I don't want a thing to do with the court. I don't want to give them any power. Like, even if I was in a lawsuit, imagine if the other side says, oh, you know, they want to find me in contempt for something. I mean, the court, when you're bringing the court in, if they wanted to jail me because they didn't like how I acted in a hearing, they can do that. I mm-hmm. want as far away from the government as possible. I'm serious. And, you know, even you know, now, you know, knowing what I know, I was even looking at, I was spreadsheeting states in the United States where you could get the most land for the less amount of money. So I have a cough. I'm a little sick under the weather right now, but I found like Utah and Arkansas, there's certain states where you can get like a lot of acreage for a little bit of money. And I was like, man, I want to get somewhere way the hell out there. You know, that I don't have neighbors on each side. You know what I mean? Because in all honesty, I start getting scared. Like, oh my God, if I was living in a house in my 70s or 80s and say a neighbor doesn't like the way I'm keeping my house up, or they don't like the way my lawn looks, are they going to make a call to Adult Protective Services claim? Not able to take care of myself, because that's another door that opens up to this whole realm. So, you know, you got to strategically also plan out, you know, how you're going to live in your elder years, right? So that you don't subject yourself to neighbors doing stuff like that. And like I said, you can do a lot of it with never having, like, there was another case I had, and this poor mother, and I know, Hillary, you know about this case. This poor mother, you know, petitioned to have her son, she thought she had to become his guardian advocate. Well, she didn't, okay? All she needed to do is just get a power of attorney or a healthcare surrogate, keep the freaking government and the state out of her business with her son. But she went to an attorney. I can't tell you how many times my husband has been like, oh, you need to talk to this person because they think they need to go petition to get a guardianship or petition to become a guardian advocate. No, what that petition means is that means now when you petition for something like that, you're pulling the state into your family. There's many other alternatives you can do. Like I said, power of attorney. You know, my mom is able to make decisions for my daughter just by a mere me and her and two witnesses and a notary on a piece of paper that we presented to my daughter's school. My mom had full capability of making those decisions at that time. So, you know, there's so many things you can do that you do not have to involve the state.
Wow. If that makes sense. Boy, that's so true. I'm glad that you're bringing that out, because that is, you know, in this country, people think that the smart thing is to find the right smart people to help you when you have a problem that you're facing that you don't know a lot about, and it is a tragic misstep very often when you get into this arena, when you hire somebody to help you do something like, well, mom's having a little cognitive difficulty, I think I need to get her a guardian. When you take that step, people do not realize that they just stepped into quicksand, and it is sucking them in, and they're going to be breathing their last. It's hard for me not to be overly dramatic when I think about how much of a tragic misstep it is for people who get involved with these things, because it is so very destructive of everything that they would truly want for their loved ones when they go and try to get the help that they need or think that they need, just because they don't take it into their own hands and say, well, let's see, what resources do we have? How can we allocate resources in a way that we can just take care of this? And if they would only do that, then for $15 an hour, or, they find someone that is competent and capable and responsible to take care of their loved one, and it stays basically in the family. It stays in the family circle, what goes on with that person, and you spare yourself the risks involved in getting a governmental agency, that being the courts, involved in your lives, which can, as the way I look at it, can only end badly. Maybe I'm overstating it because of my position as an advocate who has seen so many disasters. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are times when maybe it doesn't end badly. And as a matter of fact, we're talking to someone who has helped things to not end too badly for people before. So I know that may be overstating, but it is true that you're entering into a very risky situation where things may end very badly. Am I overstating it less, do you think?
No, it's exactly. It is a risk. It's like so many people go in and they think, oh, I got a slam dunk case, right? Like, this person did me wrong. And I'm just talking in general with any litigation. You just never know what you're walking into. So it's a huge risk. And to me, I don't want that risk. I don't want to risk what I know, what I've seen as nightmare stories.
Right. And if I could just interject, of course, go ahead. Yes. The verdant ears that I'm living tonight. In 2003, my father was living with his girlfriend in Orlando. He got up, he took a shower, he had breakfast, he put on his suit and tie, he said goodbye to his girlfriend, and he drove to his attorney's office. He knew what he wanted. His attorney put it in writing. He signed off on it. He paid and shook his attorney's hand. And when he left that lawyer's office, he was content that if by an accident or just by aging he became incompetent, that all his wishes would be followed. The petition was filed to put him in guardianship, and all of those documents were worthless pieces of paper. The statutes say that they should be honored, but in the 6 years that I've been advocating for guardianship reform, I've never, and I mean never, ever seen those documents, whether it's the healthcare surrogate, power of attorney, and or a pre-need guardian, I've never seen them be taken or put into effect. So, get these documents, but be very aware that they could be thrown out in court, and most times they are.
Yeah.
But, Leslie, you wonder, like, just for guardianship, it's so in the world that we're living in, the year 2024, all you would have to do is put guardianship complaints Florida. And there's, 100,000, entries on how bad things are. You just really have to be educated, and that's why we're so grateful that you've been kind enough to be on last week and this week, because if anyone's seen the inside of what really happens in these probate courtrooms, it's you. So, again, we're just so lucky
Yeah, no, I mean, and Hillary, you're absolutely right. This is something that I think is important to note, is you think, oh, I've got, you know, a healthcare surrogate, or, you know, in the will it says I'm to be the healthcare surrogate, or I'm, you know, the power, it says I'm to be the power of attorney, so I'm protected. Well, the issue is, and all they do is turn around and they make a claim that you exploited the person, you know, or whatnot. And there's always, or that you're not, you know, you breached your fiduciary duty, you know, if you're exercising power of attorney. The point being is that you use those documents for outside sources like banks, or, you know what I'm saying, or like somebody that would not be a part of the court. They'll take them, and that's why I say you can do those documents to make decisions, like if you have to, you know, act on behalf of, say, an elderly parent or somebody, or a disabled child, or whatnot, you can give them those documents. But don't ever think, like somebody told me yesterday that he was calling housing facilities, you know, like centers for his dad, and they all told him, well, we can't take him unless there's a petition for guardianship filed. I said, you don't want to put him there, that, you know what I mean? You don't need, like, there's other living facilities that do not require a guardian to do so. And so you just have to, just, if you can just walk away with, don't go to the attorneys and don't go to the court, you're protecting yourself. Even with, you know, then you get into the whole situation of, okay, well, how do I protect my assets? Or, you know, there's, you can get a will put together. You know, you could have the will registered and tell somebody, you know, if you died, this attorney did your will and has it, you know, filed, or, you know, whatnot. But that's as far as I would go with an attorney, in all honesty. And I was an attorney. That's as far as I would go with an attorney.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong statement. But you know what? I happen to agree with you 100%, because if I knew what we knew now, there's no way in hell we would have put everything in a trust. There's no way in hell we would have done none of this stuff. You know,
yeah.
It's just appalling that you're thinking that, oh, I've got a trust, I've got a will, I've got POA, we're good.
Oh, I don't just have a trust. I have an ironclad trust guaranteed to stand up in court by the lawyer that formed
it. Yeah, what we knew now.
Well, now you know you're really in trouble.
I agree with you. What can people do to, once they're in a guardianship? I mean, for Christ's sake, I've never had so many phone calls this week about people being put into guardianship. How can we get them out? What do you think? What can we do? I mean, these attorneys are not—they play hard ball in there, and it's hard to go up against some of them. What would you suggest?
Are you asking me, Luann, or? You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a multitude of scenarios, right? You sometimes have a situation where, like, I represented people that should have never been put into a guardianship. They were younger. You know what I mean? It was ridiculous that they were ever in a guardianship. So in those situations, you know, somebody still has capacity. You believe they have capacity. I used to file suggestions of capacity, and I would find my own doctors to do the capacity evaluation, and that's where the legal field had a huge problem with me, because, you know, they wanted to use their doctors to do the evaluation, in which we all know anybody they're going to pick is going to find the person incapacitated, just because it's a referral base, it's a business at the end of the day. So the way I was able to get people out of guardianship by finding my own person to do, you know, a capacity evaluation, and then let that be done with the court. But then you've got, you know, some people that, you know, maybe are, it's going to be harder, right, to get them to have capacity again. And then that's when I would, you know, go after the guardian that's in the case. It's going to be next to impossible to get, unless you have a suggestion of capacity, you're not getting them out of the guardianship. The most you could do at that point is transfer the guardian to somebody else. You know, I have a lot of situations where there's a guardian, and I'll just use like a disabled adult, for instance. A guardian is, you know, a guardian over a disabled adult, but they have no idea or understanding of the disability that this adult has. At that point, you might want to show how they're breaching their fiduciary duty. They're not getting the ward any better, right? They're actually regressing And then you suggest an alternative guardian. And I would say at that, you know, when you're in a case of a disabled adult, you want to go to like these advocacy groups, like say the disabled adult has autism. You want to go to like an autism advocacy group that is huge, you know, with a bunch of parents that are advocating for least restrictive measures for kids with autism. Find someone from a group like that to take over the guardianship, because that's a better alternative than the guardian that's on the case. The only way out of the guardianship is by showing that they have capacity. And, you know, unless you can show that they have the capacity of older rights, that's the only way you can get rid of the guardianship.
I mean, look at Jan Garwood, right? I mean, if they wanted to, even though her doctor said she had full capacity, right? The guardian, Denise Willis, and her attorney could have objected to that. And, I mean, James, I don't even think knows how lucky she is, but I'll never forget when we found restoration of rights without a hearing, that they don't object, 1, 2, 3, and I'll never, ever forget, like, I think I was on another hearing, and Vito calls and he goes, "You're never going to believe this. Jan Garwood just got out." I'm like, "Are you effing kidding me?" And it was because I sent it to you, and then you're like, I mean, you didn't even think about it. You're like, "Holy effing, whatever, let's file this. And that was like miraculous, because it never happens. People don't
know.
Don't get out. But back at the ranch, let's just not forget that Denise Willis, who committed financial crimes big time, has never been held accountable.
Well, yeah, it's sad because there's just so many components. It's like a complex web, you know, like spider web that you're in. And it's like when you get one issue sorted out, then another issue you have to sort out. But Hillary, I remember you found that doctor, right, that did that evaluation.
Yeah, that was, I don't even know how I found it, but I'm like, can't be, and I never thought that you guys would even, like, say, "Oh, Mom, maybe this, that, and the other," but both of you are like, "Oh, my God," but you were the one that said, and you filed that, like, right away, and, that just was just, like.
But do you see what I'm saying? Like, that came from that came from a doctor that wasn't connected to the cabal. I call them the cabal. You know, that really went in there with an unbiased, you know, professional stance and did an evaluation. And the reason these people can't get out is because these guardian attorneys jump. Like, if a suggestion of capacity is filed, they jump and they want their person to evaluate. And that is where the fight is. That's where the fight is. It's who's going to evaluate them. Because if it comes from the cabal, they're not getting out. Because that evaluator is always going to find, you know, the only thing you can do is get a little dirty and nasty,
right,
and file a complaint against their license. You know, but that's not involving court. You can file a complaint against the license of the doctor, hire a private investigator, show how many cases the doctor does with the attorney, you know, the whole thing. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? But you absolutely need the evaluation from someone that's not part of their network, because otherwise you're never going to get out. And the only thing you can really do at that point, like I said, is transfer the guardianship to somebody that, you know, because 9 times out of 10, the reason you're in this boat is because they've already deemed you as not somebody that could take the guardianship on. So you got to find, like, somebody who's passionate, you know what I mean, is passionate about least restrictive measures to take over the guardianship. And then here's the thing, it's kind of like a process, because you could find somebody that is, you know, say I'm just going to use autism for an example, find somebody who's passionate about, you know, the rights of autistic people, you know, because there's a huge spectrum, you know what I mean, of you know, autism. And then if they're doing I said this last week, if they're doing their job right, as a guardian, they're supposed to be helping the person get restored to capacity. And so then what would happen is, if you get a good guardian in there, then the good guardian can file a suggestion of capacity on their behalf, right? And then they could get capacity that way, and they could get an exit out that way. You just got to get these bad people out, these people that want to keep, these people that are funny. You got to get people that are not greedy, that are in it for the for the right reason, you know, because everybody that's involved that I have encountered is not in it for the right reason. It's all money for them, and that's why it is the way it is, unfortunately.
That's a good statement, Leslie. It's true. It's so true.
Mm.
Wow.
You know, people misquote it all the time. The love of money is the root of all evil. And
true.
These people look at their situation and they think that they need or just want to have more, and they want, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just greed. It's just unbridled greed. You look at these, I remember when we sat in the courtroom behind Tracy Hudson, and all of the felonies that she was charged with.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was 21 felonies.
It went on for an hour, a whole hour.
That she pled guilty to. And that was the crimes that she pled guilty to. There were other crimes that originally were discovered that they didn't have enough evidence to prosecute. But those were the ones that they had the evidence that it was clear and that she said, yes, I'm guilty to all these crimes. And it took them an hour to read all of these crimes. And it all started because she just got in a situation where she was like, well, I'll take a loan out from my ward because no one's going to know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I need the money right now. And then no one caught that. No one did anything about it. Gee, I could do that again. And
this happened there all the time.
Before long, the line is erased between what is moral and just and right and what is immoral and unjust and criminal, and you've got somebody piling up felonies, and this, I'm sure, is how it happens with many of these people. They just cross the line,
exactly,
and then it becomes a way of life for them, and then they're too deep in to ever back out, and they're not alone. It becomes a cabal of people who all are getting paid from it, who all are profiting by it.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes doctors
mm-hmm.
who are making $100,000 extra dollars in a year or a month because of the way that they work in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, you have judges that are getting mortgages that are paid off at an extraordinary pace magically because they're fudging a little when it comes to what they're doing in their courtrooms. And, you know, I wish it weren't true, and I wish that I didn't have to speak out about these things in such a way that I'm saying this is what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but there's evidence that this is what's going on.
Right, and that's what we want to take it to our listeners right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to take in callers, and I'm going to give everybody the phone number to call into the radio show. And Leslie has a website now where she has workshops, and she's actually moved them onto Thursdays. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then I'm going to give the phone number for our listeners to call in if they have a question for you. The number is 845-241-9962. You press A1. 845-241-9962. You press A1. And make sure you get that in right away, because last time I didn't quite have enough time to get everybody in to talk to us. So that's why we brought her back. So go ahead and talk to us a little bit about your workshop so everybody can understand what's going on with that, okay? Go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Luann. Yeah, I just what I did was I retired my license, so I can't practice law anymore. But to be honest with you, the most valuable thing that I could ever do for another human being in this boat, you know, in this craziness, is to educate them on how to be their own lawyer. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean, like, you know, in probate court and guardianship court, certain people are mandated to have lawyers, so you can't go pro se. They won't allow you to do so. But it doesn't mean that you won't benefit from it either, because you need to be educated so you can even recognize when your own lawyer is not fully advocating for you. But what I do is now I've changed it to Thursday night. It's solely donation-based. I intentionally, I said this last week, I did not put any sort of fee onto this, because I don't, in all honesty, and I truly believe this, and this was a problem I had as a lawyer, to be honest with you. I was in this oxymoron existence. Like, I needed to take care of myself and provide a living for my family. But then at the same point, I also recognized people just did not have the funds, you know, to continue the legal services. And I always felt like justice should never, you know, depend on someone's income or money or worth. So what I've done is I've made it strictly donation-based. There's no fee. You can register for the workshops without paying anything. You know, if you can make donations, you know, that's great. It just allows me to be able to justify what I'm doing when my husband asks me why I'm spending hours away from the kids, you know. But it's, you know, it's really my way of giving back. It's my way of educating the public on how to be their own lawyer. I do things like different subjects that I have done workshops on already would be, you know, how do you do legal research? How do you legally write? You need to know those skills if you're going to be writing motions in court. What is the hierarchy of the court system? Where do you file? You know, what courts? Because I know that was confusing before I became a lawyer. Like, what is federal court versus state court? And if I have a case, like, you know, say a civil case, where do I file that? So it's just very generalization, like general knowledge, but it's absolutely necessary if you're going to be involved in the courts. So I work on giving you a really good foundation. I also do private coaching. The private coaching is really just meant to help you find the answers on your own, but I guide you on how to find those answers so that, because once you know how to find it, you don't need me anymore. And that's the goal. You shouldn't need me. You shouldn't need a lawyer if you're, you know what I mean, if you're going to be drawn up in this and you don't want to have to pay the money the rest of your life with lawyers. So it's kind of like a mini law school done, and I break it down in a very simplistic manner. But I'm doing it every Thursday night. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time. You do need to register, because if I have nobody registered, I'm just going to cancel it. So I know, like, there were some people, like, I think even last week, that never registered, but they showed up on the Zoom, and they're like, oh, are you doing this? And I'm like, well, because last week I was doing the you guys' show, you know. So I was like, oh, well, if you were registered, you would have known that I was doing a, you know, a radio show tonight. So you do need to register for that reason.
Right.
Otherwise, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to know, like, to contact you if it gets canceled. So, but that's it. I mean, that's it. And you just go to Family Law Pro Se, very simple, Family Law Pro Se. It'll take you, you'll see a little tab at the top. It'll say services, see virtual workshops, click on virtual workshops, scroll down the page, and you'll see the workshops, and you just sign up for it.
Good. And that's on Thursday night, because we figured we're going to be bringing Leslie on every now and then to work with us as well, to talk more about the court situations going on. So she moved them to Thursdays, which is good, because now we can promote to go to you, which I've had so many people come to me this week and want to know your information. And that's why we decided to do another show, because it's like popular demand all week long. It was like, well, what's her number? How can I get a hold of her so that way I can go ahead.
Can she really help me?
Can So we decided to talk about it on Wednesdays. We're going to get people out there to talk to her. I think it's the best thing you can do right now. I mean,
I'm very grateful, you know.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could, I'd just like to let you know that from our perspective, Luann and I have known Leslie Federico for many years,
mm-hmm.
and we have watched a lot of victims of predatory practices in court work with Leslie, and she was able to free them mm-hmm. from some very bad situations with her counsel and with her assistant. And so, you know, we don't see that very often. There are a few attorneys that we know of that are both capable of and willing to work with people in those situations to help them, and so it's something very precious. It's, you know, it's kind of been, it's like if you find a gold mine and And you go,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, on the one end, you're like, I sort of want to keep it to myself, but I sort of want to share it with everybody that I love. And that's, we're in a situation where we realize that this is a gold mine. This is something that we're able now to share with everybody that we love, and that's you, our listeners, you, our dedicated listeners, been listening to what we have to say and tuning into our radio station for all these years, some of you, and months and days and weeks, and we have something that is very precious that is directly applicable to your situation. And when I say your situation, I'm talking to those people that have these court predators attacking them, that are in a situation where they're trying to avoid being attacked by the predatory court system. And this is something that I hope and pray that you will take advantage of. This is a real gift that is of priceless value. You have someone who can give you the knowledge of a lawyer, and when I say give you, that's what I mean. A lot of people have, you know, some of you have money to hire lawyers, and that's fine and dandy, except that even those who hire lawyers often discover too late that those lawyers are working more on their own behalf than on behalf of their clients.
Right.
And that's something that is very, very difficult to foresee.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20. You can realize, oh, my gosh, when that lawyer said, I've got your back, what he meant was, I've got your back pocket.
Right.
And that,
you've
got
to be careful
of that. When Luann got her pocket picked to the tune, her family got their pocket picked to the tune of about $60,000 by a lawyer who said, yeah, I've got your back, and I certainly hope there will be something left when the lawyers get finished with your mother's estate. Well, that lawyer had a $60,000 check in his pocket before the thing was all over and did nothing to earn it except obfuscate and delay and do. So
it was bad.
Realize that this is something that is incredibly valuable and incredibly precious that is being offered by someone who really does care. And I just wanted to say that because I want people to understand the value of what you're being given and value it accordingly.
Right. So we're going to open up the phone lines, and the number to call into is 845-241-9962. You press 1. That's 845-241-9962. You press 1. Someone just sent me this message saying a little while ago, saying I was able to speak with Leslie. She helped a ton. Thank you. So we just wanted to put that out there as well. So go ahead, Leslie. Talk to us a little bit more about just like staying out of court. I know that you can't always stay out of a court. But if I knew what I knew now, I sure in the hell would have never done a trust. But, you know, so you don't think people need to do trust or wills or any of that? What's your scope on that?
I'm not saying that. I think, you know, like, for instance, my son came in. We had a lawsuit years ago when he was in preschool. It was against the preschool, and I don't want to get into the details of it. But he got a substantial amount of money, and I remember the attorney says to us, my husband and I, my husband's an attorney as well, and they're like, okay, would you like a guardian, or you have, I guess they said mandated by law, we had to either get a guardian ad litem or a guardian, right? And of course, my husband and I, knowing about guardians, we're like, never a guardian, so we're like, we'll take the guardian ad litem, you know, and his trust has just been sitting there, but, you know, that was how it had to happen legally, and there was not a whole lot we could do about it. But what I would say is you can get all these things done. I would, you know, if you really want to know what I, like, as a lawyer who practiced in this area, I said to my husband, in the reality, you know, I work to provide for my kids. I've never been the type of person, and I say, and there's a reason I'm saying this. I've never been a materialistic person that needed a lot of money. I said this last week, I grew up with a lot of money, and I saw a lot of the evil that comes with a lot of money. I've been there, done that. I've been on top, I've been on the bottom. I just want freedom, to be honest with you. And you know, when you're broke, you don't have the freedom. And then when you have too much, you become a target to those that want to take you down by filing lawsuits to get a portion of your money. So, I mean, to me, I just want to coast in the middle. I don't want to be in the limelight. I just want to get through life. But what I do want is I do want my kids to be, you know, to have money in the future. So I had said to my husband, I said, you know, when we get to a certain point, I would even go as far to either put my kids' names on our assets or even put my assets into my kids' names, you know, and then I would go and get a capacity evaluation so nobody could contest that I did this without capacity, you know, or, you know, go to a doctor and, you know, that I was of sound mind. And I would just get the shit, excuse my language, out of my name. Because in all honesty, if I were to die, the only money I, you know, unless I was some multimillionaire and I wanted to, you know, donate it to, like, nonprofits, I just want my kids to have whatever it is that I have worked for. That's really it. So I would actually just transfer titles into my kids' name, you know, I mean, in all honesty. But then, of course, then you have, you know, the issue of, well, if you have multiple kids, and then what if you're estranged from one, and the one that's in, but that's why you have to go and get your own capacity evaluation. So they don't, the one that, you know, maybe you're estranged from, that you have issues with, that wants to come back and say that, you know, their sibling extorted you for this, that you're protected. You know what I mean? But there's certain times, right, like I said, but, you know, you just, what you don't want to do is you don't want to get into a position where your health is deteriorating. And we don't know what age that's going to be, because I've seen that. I had a case today, somebody calling me, and the person was 59 years old, okay? And that's young as far as I'm 47. So it's like, I'm like, wow, that's like 12 years from now, you know? And so, I mean, there's different ages, but that doesn't even indicate how you're going to be mentally. But I just, as you get older, especially when you're getting into, like, I would say, like, 70s, 80s, 90s, and obviously, like, life expectancy is going up as time goes on, stay away from attorneys. Have all that stuff set up way before. You know, so right, if you're coming into stuff, set it up in your 40s or 50s. You know, get yourself a doctor's evaluation so you can show, you know, through records that you had capacity when you did what you did. And then just stay the heck away from attorneys. Don't go, I see it, you know, when people go amending their wills and changing things out, you know, when they're older, then you open the door. Then now you go into an attorney, you don't know how much that attorney's integrated with the elder law cabal, guardianship cabal.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, and two, like I said, you know, you got to watch out, especially if you've got kids that are fighting amongst each other. That's another way that people get put in, is their kids not getting along and them not feeling like, you know what I'm saying? Like their kids, like one kid feels cheated over the other kid, and then they get vindictive and retaliatory and like, oh, well, mom and dad, you know, took me out of the will. Like, I mean, I would honestly, to me, the way I look at it, even if I had a kid, and I do right now, I actually do have a child, and I have a grandchild that I've met one time. And my daughter is estranged from me, and I'm not proud to say this. It's really sad. A lot of it had to do with the fact she was alienated, you know, from me growing up. But my take on it is I don't care, like, how much my daughter ignores me. I still want to give my kids equal. Like, I don't want to be that parent that just says, oh, you didn't talk to me, so I'm going to take you out. I think that those types of moves, because the kid feels it, or the kid might, you know, like, I think it should just be, you should, while you're on this earth, you work on salvaging those relationships. You work on salvaging the relationships between your kids who might not get along, and make it very clear to them that all of them are equally loved, because that's, I think, a huge component as to why kids end up filing on their parents.
Exactly, and that's what happened in my family. A couple of my family members felt ousted, and that's what happened. They took us to court, and before you know it, all the property was basically given to the attorney. You know, basically, you know, and it was sad to watch that my family, that who loved each other so much, ended up, you know, not loving each other anymore, and I still am distant from one of the family members. you know, still, and it's been almost 15 years. I mean, that the whole probate system ruined my family ties. And I talk about that in our book coming out in a few months. It's really sad what happened. But make sure that you talk to your family members about everything.
What happens when a conflict gets court? The court acts like a megaphone to amplify the conflict, because conflict is how courts thrive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the conflict gets resolved between feuding family members, and they say, okay, well, let's shake hands and call it square, then all of a sudden all that money that was going to attorneys is no longer going to attorneys. We're finished with you. You can, you know, let's just pay off the final bill and we'll be done with this
in court.
You know, that's what would happen if families would just come together and say, well, you know what, we've solved our problems and that's how it is. But that's exactly the last thing on earth that attorneys that have a valuable case want.
Exactly.
So they'll do their best to, you know,
make it worse.
I can't help but think it, you know, that court is kind of like a tennis court. You have two opponents, and neither one of the opponents is the actual opponent. It's the representative opponent. Because I'm the attorney for so-and-so, and you're the attorney for so-and-so, and our game is to keep the ball going back and forth as long as we can, because every time I hit the ball, I get paid, and every time you hit the ball, you get paid, and we both know that. So we just keep batting the ball back and forth until all the money's gone, and that's our game.
I don't want to laugh.
You're so right.
Go ahead.
That's why I think the court system's evil. And, you know, I mean, I'm not here to preach on a spiritual level, but, you know, I am a spiritual person, and I think it's evil. And that's why I'm like, if you can work these issues out in your family, you know, while you're on this earth, while you're alive, you know what I mean, keep the court out. Because once you bring it in front of the court, once your kid brings it in front of the court, It amplifies, just like you said. You know what I mean? It amplifies everything.
Oh, horrible. I'm just going back in my mind what happened with our family, and that's exactly what happened. We're going to bring in some phone calls from our listeners right now, and to talk a little bit more about this. They might have a question or a concern, but the number to do that is 845-241-9962. You press a 1.
And that will raise your hand and let us know that you have a question or comment.
845-241-9962. Same number every week. Sometimes you have to put a 1 in front of that. They might charge you a penny a second or something like that.
I don't know. A penny a minute.
Yeah, so anyway, we've got a 770 number. Let's bring that on right now. 770, you have a question?
Code 770, you're on the air live with Leslie Federico.
Hi, it's Becky Harbor, and I've just got a couple of questions. Hi, Luann, hi, Leslie. I want to refer back to Leslie when she's talking on the will, and she says the only way that I would bring an attorney, that's the one time that I would bring in an attorney, is if there was a will. Would the reason for that be because the will isn't as strong if it's contested by a normal notary rather than by an attorney?
I wouldn't say that. You know, if you can, I mean, in all honesty, this is kind of the program, you know, that I'm trying to teach people to do. You'd be amazed. Uh-huh. You get, like, everything you need on Google search these days, or if you want to go to Westlaw, and they'll give you templates. You know, all you need is the statutory criteria for your state on how to make a valid will. Okay. Actually, if you put a little research into it, it'll tell you the requirements, you know, on how to do a will. And then, you know, I would make sure that, you know, that will is known by other people, you know, that people know it, in the event that you pass, right, that you have that will. And I would also make sure that you go and you do some sort of capacity evaluation and stick it with that will, because that's one of the ways that they try to contest against the will is they say, oh, you know, you weren't in capacity at that point, right? I would, like, that's one thing they don't tell you in the statute, but just based off of seeing these cases and how they unfold, I would make sure you have an evaluation from a doctor, and that evaluation is right there with the will, so that they can't go saying, oh, you created this will under exploitation, or you didn't have, you know, the capacity to make this will or some, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, and I would do it, like I said, I mean, do it, you know, before it's too late, you know, like before, you know, your health is really taken into effect, and make it known, you know, to every, so basically it's like, if people want to contest what you're doing, a lot of people are very secretive about wills, right? They want to make a will. They don't really want to tell anybody what it is. And I think that it's that secretiveness that kind of ignites some of the, because it's usually family members, you know, if it's not somebody else that will file a petition for a guardianship. But I would just, you know, maybe like just sit all the family members down. Like, this is the will. This is what I'm doing. I've had a capacity, so none of you guys, you know, try to sit there and say I was exploited or extorted or what, you know, whatever. And this is what I intend and what I want to happen. And that's it. So everybody's their witness, you know, you've got the will, and then keep the courts out from that point. And then, you know, anybody like an adult kid that might think they're getting cheated, you know, in the future, at that point, you know, I'm just saying, because a lot of the reason a kid gets cheated is because they don't really know what maybe the will says, or they don't really know what's going on, and then they file the petition for guardianship. They know that, okay, you know, mom or dad or whatever, you know, is being fair, and they're trying, you know, you work those issues out while you have capacity and you're young enough, and then you just don't change it, because it's when you start changing it when you're older, that's when stuff starts to, you know, people start to think, oh, you're being exploited, and that's when the guardianship petitions start getting filed and things like that.
Okay. So, in other words, even if a lawyer was involved in a will or, say, right to survivorship on a home or just anything legal, even if a lawyer in his office with his witness, he really should have capacity if it's in doubt. Witnessed, right? Because I noticed,
yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah. Becky,
okay.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't have to interrupt you. But yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, no, that was the answer. All right. Then the next question is, what if any, are the guidelines that you can file fraud in a guardianship case, like with the fiduciary duties of everybody involved, if it involved a death, like federal, in other words, I'm reading, when I Google search, it says probate court matters cannot be brought into federal court. Is that true? Is there any exceptions to that rule?
Well, here's the thing. I'm dealing with a situation that's actually an issue. Okay. They can attempt to get something dismissed on the fact. Well, okay, anytime you go into federal court, I'm just going to give you a generalization on an argument. You go into federal court, there's going to be the argument that they're going to come, like the people you're suing are going to come back and say, the state court didn't have the opportunity to resolve this. Why are you bringing, because federal court's supposed to be like the end all be all. That's supposed to be at the end of it. Like, you're supposed to allow the state court to resolve the issue. And if the state court doesn't resolve the issue, then you go, you know, you go into federal court. I'm that's general, because there's always exceptions and different facts that can give rise to different things. But the thing is that, you know, I had a case, and I'm going to say this because this is probably going to be the distinction. I had a case where I represented an AIG, which is an alleged incapacitated person. She wasn't found to be incapacitated, but she was still placed into an ETG, an emergency temporary guardianship. And the emergency temporary guardian was completely breaching her fiduciary duty with this woman. So at this point, we filed a civil suit, and because I didn't want it to be in probate court. I was like, let's get this out of probate court. Let's file. My whole purpose in filing a civil suit is I wanted there to be a jury trial, okay? Because jury trials are known to be the most fair type of trial, because anything that's not a jury trial is a bench trial and it's up to the judge. So I was like, okay, well, we don't believe that the judge is being fair in this probate or guardianship case. Let's get it out of this court and let's move it into civil and let's get a jury on board to be able to try these issues. Of course, the guardian's attorney and everybody came back and they were like, they wanted to, one, consolidate the civil claim and put it back into guardianship court. Then they made the argument of, well, you know, this can be tried in guardianship court, is the most appropriate. And of course, I made the argument of, well, my client wants a jury trial, right? And guardianship probate court doesn't afford her a jury trial. My client wants a jury trial. So if you consolidate this civil complaint and put it back into, you know, guardianship court, you're actually denying her a jury trial. Then the judge came back, rattled off some rule that I'd never heard of, and said, well, the judge had discretion to allow a jury trial, right? And it was as though she basically negated my whole argument, you know, that we wanted to take it into civil to get a jury trial. But my point being is that if you bring something into federal court, there's circumstances where you can have a jury trial in federal court. So you want to be able to know, like, what it is that you're arguing, because breach of fiduciary duty can be resolved in probate court, okay? It can be resolved in probate court. So you got to be very creative with your lawyering, because you got to overcome, and this takes a lot of research, you got to overcome the whole argument of, well, this could have been resolved in probate court. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to overcome that. And there is, I'm sure there's tons of things out there, you know, like case law out there that you could argue against that. But my whole premise, I think the strongest argument is the fact that you get a jury trial when you bring it into federal court. You get a jury trial if you bring it into civil court, and you're not getting afforded that in probate or guardianship court. But like I said, this judge that I, you know, was arguing this whole thing against had some weird rattled off rule, you know, that she had discretion to allow a jury trial. Now, we ended up settling the case, and we never got any farther in that case, because otherwise I would have held her to the T on the jury trial. You know what I mean? So I could have been able to sit here tonight and tell you, oh, well, she was full of crap. Like, she couldn't have done that. But we ended up getting my client out of guardianship before that point, so we dropped everything.
Okay.
But, yeah, in federal court, too, you also have to have a federal constitutional violation. So you as long as you have a federal constitutional violation, you can piggyback that with claims that would be state-specific claims, you know, that you could have done in probate court or whatnot. Now, here's something interesting. In Florida, I have found, and there are attorneys out there that actually specialize in this claim. It was a claim I heard of in law school, and it's not like a common claim that you hear every day, but when I Google searched it for the state of Florida, there was attorneys that specialized. There's a tort claim. Now, a tort, if you don't know what a tort is, that, you know, where someone has caused damage, that would be like a car accident, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. Someone's caused damage. It's not just limited to physical. It could be emotional, you know, financial. Okay. But there's a claim in Florida called tortuous interference with familial inheritance. And I'm sure that there's other states out there. So if you're wondering, like, does my state allow this claim, you just Google search your state and see if they allow the claim. But the claim basically says that somebody came in, right, and they torturously, like negligently or, you know, intentionally, you know, interfered with your inheritance. Well, a guardianship, if a guardianship exploited a family member, a parent, and you are a beneficiary, you're somebody that's going to inherit from that estate, and say the guardianship, you know, took $200,000, and you can prove that the guardianship was done fraudulently, that, you know, they breached their duty, you might be able to stand on that claim. So that's something nobody's doing right now, but I think it could be something, you know, like something people could start utilizing.
I have heard of the torturous on familial, which would include the marriage contract. What case is that? Is that Florida versus somebody?
No, it's a claim. So if you were to file, you know, say you wanted to file in civil court, right? Or you want to, you had a, mm-hmm. you know, a federal claim where there's a constitutional violation, you would look up torturous interference. It's T-O-R-T-I-O-U-S. Interference with familial, because it's your family, familial inheritance. And okay. there's, it's very simple. It's like four elements that you have to prove. You have to prove that, one, you are somebody that was going to inherit, right? That there was money to be inherited, and that a third party came in and interfered with your ability to inherit that money. So this okay. could very well be something that could, nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it. But I think you could. And I think if you can open this door, get, you know, Google search an attorney who specializes in this type of claim, I think this okay. could freaking kill guardianships.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to find something that is going to get to the root of the problem. Because, and,
yeah.
and, you know, one of us one day, one of us listening or one of us on this phone or maybe not on this phone, but this is happening, will open that door, and I am telling you it's going to happen. Now, you know, down in Florida, Bill 885, those lawyers, the Florida bar came in there, and boy, they worked hard to squash that bill that was out there. And you know, it was the only, I believe it was the only guardianship bill this year that was just asking at first for jury trials, and then that was squashed, and they said, no, we're not going to give you jury trials, because then they wouldn't have any business, right? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
because yeah, they wouldn't have any business.
Exactly.
And so they're like, No, you don't get it that way. And so now the one that was just going to say, well, you know, you have to have a real valid reason, like in criminal court, like, you know, all they said against me is she tried to assault her husband. Not one affidavit, not one truthful thing in the state of Florida to even say that, but yet they get to take over your loved family member, and they
yeah.
still wouldn't let that. That's just how corrupt this system has become. They don't want justice. They want money.
No, you're so mm-hmm. right. So right, Becky. And it's like, you know, my husband and I were talking tonight about this. It's like, and I said this last week, nobody believes it unless it happens to you. And that's like the hardest freaking thing to overcome, because everybody's looking at you as this paranoid person about our system. But the people that are doing that, they just haven't dealt with it yet.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then one more thing, talking on what Robin and Luann touched on, and then I'll be through, was the comment, you know, that I've heard Luann say over and over, I've said it over and over, if I'd have only known. We didn't know, but I sure hope she addresses it to all the readers that will buy that book, because when Luann says, I spent $60,000 for nothing, I get it. I've spent over $200,000. For nothing. And I had over six attorneys, and every one of them worked with the other side and sold me out. Every single one of them. That's six attorneys. That's
yeah.
very big. And so
yeah.
what we have to get across in that book is what happened to you, Luann, what happened to me, and we're only two victims of hundreds of victims, because what happens is we are sucked into that world with our own attorney. And that'll be the last thing I say, but please put it in your book.
Oh, and that's why I wanted to ask you, Becky, if you could write me up something for our book. You know, I think that's a very powerful, and we're accepting what people think of the system and what they spend money on to put it in our book. So if you have anything, send it to faceusradio@hotmail.com, because it's going to be coming out in a couple months. And I think Leslie's
okay.
going to write something for you.
Okay, I will do. And thank you for letting me speak. Bye, Leslie. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You go.
Thank you, Becky.
No, Becky's been awesome. We've been talking to Becky for a long time, and what happened to her husband was just god-awful. You know, so, yeah, we get it, you know, and they spent, okay? We didn't get our property taken from us. We didn't lose it. It was taken from us. And I tell the story in the book, and it was hard riding. It was really hard riding, but Robin was next to me helping to write, and he's really good at wording. So if you want to write something for the book, you don't know how to write, get a hold of us, and Robin can help you get it out, like he's been doing to me. Anyway, here's the 717 number. You're live on the air, Faceless Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Or?
Area code 717, you're live.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Lucas McNair. I'm out of Lafayette, Indiana, and I've been in a guardianship since about 1999, and I've been struggling through this. I started filing my own motions into the court system around, I think it was 2019, and I've been through several different attorneys, and I'm just sort of reaching out. I was able to get my rights restored in May. And I have pending financial hearings coming up, and I'm trying to get answers. There was no accounting or checkups throughout the whole guardianship. So for approximately 18 years, I was sort of just no oversight to the guardianship. So I've been reaching out into Facebook groups, and I guess I really started getting momentum on my case when I was able to get a hold of Rick Black through Seer, and I entered my story into his database, onto his website, and a few weeks later he called me back, and man, I just want to start off, and I want to say thank you to everybody out there. I feel like I know what I'm going to be doing every Wednesday from now on, as long as this radio show's going on, and I just want to say thank you, and I'm sort of out here struggling and going through a lot of the things that you're talking about on the air, and there's so many things that, you know, I want to talk about, and I could talk all night long about my story and the different things I've been through. And I was asked by, I think it was Laura Thrash. She's been helping me out a lot over the last few days. Man, there's so many names that just the community has been so helpful. And I don't really know exactly what you expect to hear from me or what I want to hear from you guys. I'm soaking up all the information. And I guess, I don't know, would you like to answer a question, or, you know, is there anything you want me to talk about?
I think the best thing to do right now is, I do have your phone number and I can talk to you about it. I think I've seen you on Facebook as well, reaching out for help.
I've kind of been out there sending out the SOS.
Maybe you can contact Leslie. I can get you her information, and maybe she can talk to you about some pointers of what to do, right? Leslie, what do you think?
Well, I would say right off the bat, you should be contacting a civil attorney for breach of fiduciary duty.
That's kind of
your finances, you know, and your rights are restored. You have standing now to go after these people.
I'm starting to get into the same situation that you mentioned earlier, where you get the attorneys and they're playing tennis, and you know, and then and you're like, hey, I wanna move forward. I'm tired of this, and you know, I've had attorneys tell me completely different things. I've had them tell me there's a trust, and then after I ask them more information about it, they stall, and then I say, well, just let me see it. And this is after they told me they've seen through the files of it, and then they make up a story and say there's no trust, you know. So I get to these points with these different attorneys, and I say, I got to get out of here. I'm firing you. You know, but you could only do that so much because, you know, like you say, they're going to keep the ball going back and forth. And that's what Letty Lanzario suggested, was a civil approach, because I feel like this probate court that I'm in now, anything that they do, I'm going to have to appeal. And I'm sorry, I don't remember all the names, but there was an attorney earlier that suggested, like, this is part of the whole cage that you're in, is that you have to let the probate court try, and then they don't want to try. You know what I'm saying? So it's just
I mean, you have stand. Here's the thing: when you take a civil claim in civil court, and this is kind of what the business that I'm doing, it's not really, it's a, I don't want to even call it nonprofit, just donation-based consulting. You could represent yourself initially to get everything filed. I can help you with that.
I take a shot, but I'm getting so much, like there's been times in between my attorneys where I was filing motions and I would spend hours and hours putting all the evidence in and then filing this, like I filed this, I think it was like a 30-page motion with all kinds of evidence and audio and all kinds of stuff, and the judge just didn't even really wink at it.
Well, you got to stay out of probate. You got to stay out of probate and guardianship court. You got to stay out of those courts. You got to take this to civil. You actually might have standing for a federal lawsuit. I'm just saying. And the thing is, you, as without an attorney, you can file that pro se. That means self-represented.
Right.
Then you could always go find an attorney later if you have to, go into court. But, it sounds like, you got your rights restored now. There's been damage. Okay. And then the thing is, all these questions that you have about the trust, well, once you file a civil complaint, you can start subpoenaing records and you can get to the bottom of everything because you're entitled to that new discovery,
That's what I'm trying to get my attorneys to do. And I feel like they just, even the one that I have now, I think I'm on my seventh attorney, and he's sort of like dragging his feet and saying, well, it'll cost more to even look than it will that you'll ever get back.
Well, no, you got it. Here's the
thing. Already know the answer, or are you lying? Or, what is this?
These cases are usually done on contingency basis, which means you don't have to pay for any attorney. And I definitely wouldn't use any attorney that's in probate court. I would go on to Google and put breach of fiduciary duty attorneys in your state and contact them.
I would love
to
talk to you some other time. I don't want to take up too much time here, and I don't know how to get a hold of you, but I appreciate you so much for helping.
Let's tell them how to get a hold of you.
You just go to my website, Family Law.
I'll find you.
Yeah, pro se. Or call
Family Law
in, pro se. Pro se, and then you just go familylawprose.com, go to services, and then from services you can make an appointment with me. You don't have to say anything. You just book an appointment, and
then
we can talk.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about getting into your classes, too, just to,
you should.
Definitely. Get involved.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
I think I saw you.
There's a lot to talk about, and I don't want to take up too much time.
I actually found you on Messenger. I'm going to go ahead and send it to you right now, okay?
Yeah, Lucas McNair, and I'm in the groups. There's so many, and it's just overwhelming. But it's refreshing because I had a woman today who sort of, like, called me. I was at the gym, and she called me, and she was like, here's what I got. I was like, wow, it made me feel really good because
– Like Leslie says, be careful of the attorneys. If they're dragging their feet, they're not for you, period.
Yeah, I know.
Don't let attorneys drag your feet. Don't even go there because they're supposed to be working for you,
I know.
This is where the value of what Leslie's offering is that you can know what steps you need to take and how those steps are taken, and many of those steps you can take yourself. Like she said, you can do many of these things pro se so that you're not using an attorney until you actually do need one. Mm-hmm. And when you do need an attorney for something, you know precisely what it is that you need them to do, and you know if they're dragging their feet, you know if they're just, spending money just to spend money, because you know what it is you're trying to do, and you know what it is you intend for them to do, and you can instruct them, look, this is the actions that you are to take as my attorney, and
exactly.
If you're not taking those actions, then you're not my attorney, You have to deal with these people knowing that you are hiring them for services and what those services are, you know, that it's important to learn how to control the situation by learning what it is that you're trying to accomplish
mm-hmm.
very specifically, because the law is not a tame animal.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and like I say, we're going to take some more phone calls, and the number
great.
To
thank
do that
you
is
so much.
845. Thank you.
845-241-9962.
You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And we'll wait for the phone lines to light up again. But that, I talked to him. I think I saw him earlier on Facebook. And I did send him your information. And I do think he needs to really talk to you, Leslie. I mean,
yeah.
he really does. And it's just yeah. amazing. The knowledge that you have. A lot of people have no idea. I mean, I'm telling you, when I went to court and I had to file via my mom's guardian, I didn't know what I was doing. And then they called me up to go ahead and go up and talk in front of the judge, and I had to be like my own lawyer to ask my own mom questions. Remember that?
I didn't even
remember. I was just stunned on, I didn't know what to say. That was kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I do prep people too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I people how to conduct themselves in a hearing, like how to prepare for an evidentiary hearing, making sure all their evidence is submitted properly. You know what I mean? These are things that, and I do this because, you know, you got to understand, like I said before, I didn't go to law school until later in life. I had another career before this. And I was just mm-hmm. as lost as everybody else, you know, in my 30s when I didn't know what in the hell I was doing. It wasn't too long ago. You know what I'm saying? So I know the confusion mm-hmm. and I've learned it now. And that's why I kind of know how to hone in to what, you know, to teach people, because I was everybody else in my 30s, you know, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad
right.
Lucas found us. I mean, I really am. And I'm in touch with him, too, as well.
I think his life is about to change in a very positive way.
Let's go ahead and bring on an 862 number, area code. You'll have your hand raised. You have a question or comment for Leslie? One of us.
Welcome to the show, 862.
Welcome.
You're on the air. Yes,
I was waiting
you.
For Robin to do his reading. Hello, good evening. This is friend of the show, Sue Reeves. Hello, good evening, Robin.
Hi.
Good evening, Leslie. Good evening, Luann. You guys remember me. My son is Skylar Davis, who's been alienated.
Yeah,
he is our youngest advocate. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, Sue, you really
okay,
need
so
to
my,
be talking to Leslie.
Well, I want to talk to everyone. I want to give you all an update. I wanted to thank you, Leslie, for encouraging people to go pro se. Myself personally, I've been advocating for my boyfriend. I'm sure you're not familiar with our journey, but my son has been alienated and isolated from his father, who was under an adult guardianship for the past 6 years. Our child was only only 2 years old when his father was placed under an adult guardianship as a result of a traumatic brain injury at only 39 years old. So
wow.
6 years later, our child has still not been able to have any contact or communication with his biological father. So I personally litigated this matter last year for 10 months in probate court pro se. And we were actually heading to trial. Interrogatories were served on both parties. I actually am quite proud of myself because I made a lot of leeway pro se, and the only reason why I was requested to withdraw the matter and I withdrew it without prejudice and that was granted was because the opposing counsel, I guess I had them running scared because they threw a frivolous lawsuit, the threat of a frivolous lawsuit litigation against me. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't have the procedural knowledge, nor did I have the case laws and the statutes and all the loopholes and tricks that attorneys will throw at you to confuse you. I didn't have any of that, so I did withdraw, and I was able to present a signed birth certificate as well as a paternity acknowledgement, and the opposing counsel continuously questioned my son's paternity. This man was, my boyfriend was an active, present, diligent father for the first 2 years of our child's life before his life was no longer his own, and we were robbed and he was stolen from us by this court-appointed guardianship. So I withdrew from the probate matter only to file in family court because my child is a minor. So there are certain obligations and rights that my child is entitled to. So the first thing we did in family court, despite my documents, which should have been given full faith and credit, which were the signed birth certificate as well as the paternity acknowledgement, the opposing party, of course, challenged the paternity and said a lot of horrible things about my character, and we were ordered to undergo a genetic testing, which I only would say that was a test I passed with flying colors, didn't have a drip of sweat on my brow when we took that test, and what it did was it definitely substantiated my son as Yusef Davis's biological heir. So the genetic testing has confirmed the paternity, and we go back to court in April, and we will be discussing court-ordered parenting time, which is my main objective, is to reunite Skylar with his father. And that's been my whole goal, and everyone, you know, Robin and Luann can definitely contest that I've been an active, diligent advocate for both of my men in my life for the past 6 years. So I want to thank you, Leslie, for letting people know it's possible process.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And definitely, like, reach out to me because I can, you know, all those little tricks and all that stuff. Like, if you ever, you know, if you have to go into a hearing and you tell me what's being argued, you know, I can help you from another angle so you can be prepared too. You know what I'm saying? Because that was very smart. I'm very impressed with what you've done, you know, and knowing how to navigate back and forth between the courts like you have. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. But
thank you so much for saying that. It was definitely a strategic tactic because, you know, I especially going pro se because she was paying attorney fees. So I can only imagine what 10 months of litigation cost her when in all actuality it was a fact-finding mission for me. I was able to obtain so much information, so many documents that will only support my filing when I do refile because, remember, the judge granted that without prejudice. So the door is still open. And only thing I did walk away from it.
You educated yourself. Good for you. You know all that.
I went to Google University and YouTube. I went to Google University and YouTube Academy. It took a lot of hours of insomnia and Wi-Fi to get me to this point, and it's also drive and determination because I will not let the lack of financial resources deter me from seeking justice for my son and his father. So
good for you.
It's definitely possible.
That's awesome. Well, let me, any extra help, definitely contact me. You know what I mean? Because you already have a foundation. But if you need, like, someone to, like, review something, you know what I'm saying, whatever, like, let me know, you know?
I greatly appreciate it, but I'm going to be fully transparent with you. It was so mentally and physically exhausting to do that. Like, I understand why people hire attorneys, even though I'm very leery and not very trusting, but the emotional and physical toll it took on me, I may not have paid monetarily, but I definitely put my blood, I was having bouts of hives, my blood pressure was through the roof. I was having stomach issues. I was stressed out. And I remember,
but,
mother.
You did what you needed to do, and you did it well. So congratulations on that. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
But if you need any
extra help,
you know where to go.
Say again?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say how much they hated me. Because especially – once we had a guardian ad litem appointed, the guardian ad litem did a piss poor job investigating the matter. And straight away you could tell that she was on the favor of the guardian side. But there was one sentence that she put in her report that that I tied into, which was the fact that she definitely stated that that my son has been alienated from his father. And the opposing counsel was like, I don't think the report says that. And I said, it absolutely says that in paragraph this and paragraph that. And the judge was like, Ms. Reeves, we're not litigating the case right now. We're not arguing the case. Oh, yeah, because I'm ready. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. So so it was difficult. It's challenging, but it's possible. So anyone that's listening, do as much as you can possibly do pro se. And like Leslie said, then bring in the heavy hitters. Then bring in someone that can speak their lingo and has the rapport, can play the game, because it's all politics. That's all it is.
Yep.
So even with the family court matter, I'm trying to find an attorney that has familiarity with this particular judge. I've made progress. I've got us to the table. Menus are in the hands. Let's eat.
what county are you in, by the way? Were you out in New Jersey?
I'm helping someone in New Jersey.
I'm helping someone in New Jersey right now, so I'm just wondering what county.
The probate matter is in Union County, New Jersey, whereas the family court matter is in Essex County, New Jersey.
Okay, yeah.
New Jersey, the
filings in New Jersey, I'm just telling you, because I'm helping somebody right now in New Jersey in family court. She's been alienated from her son for like 2 years, but it's a whole different beast in New Jersey, man. Like compared to like other states, like how they file things, it's definitely different.
Well, let me tell you something, Leslie. I'm pissing people off already, and I'm kicking ass and taking numbers because after we did this tango for 10 months in probate court, my family court filing was so strong that they thought that I was an attorney.
I bet they did. And the nice thing is New Jersey, I was looking up some case law for this girl that I'm helping, and I actually liked a lot of the law that Jersey had. You know what I mean? Like, it was a lot more, like, in favor of children's rights. You know, I don't want to say children's rights.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like, in favor of the children, in favor of, you know, making sure they had connections with both parents, you know, that sort of thing. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And my biggest obstacle right now is at the end of one of the hearings, the last time we were in court, I requested, once paternity is established, for guardian ad litem to be appointed to act on my son's best interest. And, oh, the guardian and her attorney, they didn't like that, and they filed a motion of reconsideration. But now that the paternity has been established, that point is moot. So I will be the first person to say that I am a big fan of artificial intelligence, and I've been utilizing that. Add that to my roster of tools because I've renamed AI Agatha Indy. So me and my good girlfriend, Agatha Indy, we sit here, we write motions, we write letters, and it works. And I've made significant progress. So anybody that's listening, you can do it pro se. It's scary. It's intimidating. They want to intimidate you, but it's possible. So that's what I wanted to share. I want to give you guys an update because I've been kind of quiet for a while because they were definitely scrutinizing my social media. But guess what? I'm not in active litigation and probate anymore. So it's time to get loud all over again. So
good for you.
There you go. And I know you never given up as well. And I know that you've listened to our shows for a long time. And you know the patterns that they play to try to alienate you away from everything. So that's good. You know, we try to let everybody know what the patterns are and what you can expect. But it's good. So if you need help, you know how to get Leslie, too.
Absolutely. And you had a guest on a week or so ago. It was a wife that was, please forgive me, I can't remember their names. But you made a very valid point. And the reason why they want to alienate spouses from one another, because no one knows you better than your spouse. So they don't want, they're penalizing my son and they're depriving my son of the relationship that he's entitled to with his biological father because they don't want me to lay eyes on this man. Because the moment I see you, Seth Davis, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. That's why they keep spouses away from, you know, from each other because it's an instant connection and you'll be able to tell what's right and what's wrong.
Right, so, and I tell you what, the love from a spouse doesn't just go away like that. Like a love from my mother, you know, when she was going through all this sports stuff, my mom never stopped loving me. you know, and I knew it, you know, and it's, you just got to keep fighting for them no matter what. And now you've got a powerful tool with Leslie, and not only that, but I got off the phone also with Phil Ross, okay? He is another attorney that was, then they came after him and all that. He is going to be coming on our show next week with Leslie Puerto Rico, hopefully. So I'm trying to set that up to talk about what happened to the both of them and why they two need to talk to each other to figure out, you know, what's the next best thing for these two retired attorneys to do now. Because they both are angry at the system. They both know what's going on. And I think it's going to be a really good show. And so that's what I'm working on for this week. I'm always... I kind of like
you. I just want to say thank you so much.
I
just want to express my ultimate gratitude to everyone, Luann, Robin, Marcy, Hillary, everyone, you know, Leslie, thank you so much for all that you do for us victims because, you know, we're voiceless unless you give us a voice. And it's so scary and it feels so, like, it feels alone, like you're the only person going through it. And you're really not. There's really masses of us. So, you know, I think you said it.
Right.
We just
always
all need a band
time.
Together.
Right. You need a band together. Hillary, you're still with us, right? Are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Well, I know the lines are probably ringing off the hook. I just want to say love from New Jersey. Thank you for everything that you do. And Leslie, I'll definitely reach out to you. My name is Sue. Skylar's mommy on Facebook. So I'll reach out to you.
Nice talking to you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Yeah. I'm telling you, she's a warrior. She knows all the techniques.
And so is Skylar.
Your little boy is adorable, by the way.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Did you see? And this is the thing. He just turned 8 years old. This guardian could have – this is a fun fact about Youssef. All four of his children are born in February. I don't know how he mastered that, but he has four children, and they're all born in February. But yet not one child receives a phone call or any acknowledgement on their birthday from their father. Now, isn't that the guardian's obligation to help him facilitate and maintain healthy relationships with his children? I would think one would think that they would allow him to participate in the decision-making process. You know, that's my one. I hone in on that one, because just because he's incapacitated does not mean that he doesn't have desires and wishes that can be fulfilled. And she's supposed to ascertain his preferences, isn't she?
Exactly.
Is
you
he
would
a good
that.
Guardian. You would think if she's acting in the best interest of her ward, right?
Right.
So,
well, a lot of
I'm
these parties
go, because you know I can go off on. I don't want to go off on a tangent, and I don't want to take up the rest of the time. I want to be, you know, giving, because I can go off on this topic all night long, and you know I can. And then I'll start acting all New Jersey, and then I'll try not to curse.
I try not to.
You know, love to you all. If you're listening, it feels lonely, but you're not alone. And just reach out to anyone that truly understands what you're going through, because we're like a secret society, even though it's not the best society to be a part of, but only other victims and advocates can speak our lingo and understand this language and understand this trauma and this nightmare. So band close to those.
Sue, if I could
go ahead, Hillary.
Thing.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi, friend. You say it well.
Hi.
Unfortunately, you're living the nightmare, and you are our hero because you're fighting the good fight, and, you know, knowledge is power, and every single day you're learning more, and we've got your back, without a doubt.
Well, thank you so much, because at this juncture, I sound happy, but I'm no longer sad. I'm shifting to that next stage of grief, I guess. I guess I'm pissed off,
because my child, especially once was everything was definitely definitively determined that paternity is established, there's no reason why a birthday card shouldn't have been in my post office box for this little boy. She should have let her ego go and put her pride to the side and at least played the game. So now I haven't made any content in a while, and you guys know I love making my content, talking all about this topic, and I have a year's worth of material to drop. So stay tuned. I'm Go-Go Gadget Advocate Chick on Instagram. That's a plug. Or follow the Facebook page, Reunite Skylar with His Father. Or buy a t-shirt at Advocate's Attire.
Yeah.
Even when
I know, we've been
following
for a long time. Yeah. So let's get back. Let's see if we have any more people.
Thank you so
much.
Okay,
we'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night, everybody.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Thank
you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, Susan.
So we're going to go ahead and if you want to call into the show, the number is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. We have been usually doing an hour and a half shows lately, but when we have like Les or anybody else on, we extend them to 2 hours. So we still have another 15 minutes left. And is there anything else you want to talk about, Leslie or Hillary, before we go off the air tonight? I'm going to start with Hillary.
Go ahead. Well, I mean, I just like to say that there's never a dull moment in guardianship court. You know, we don't even realize who is fighting to get out because we have no idea of the amount of people in guardianship throughout the country. And, you know, we're terrorized by the attorneys and the guardians. I'm very proud of the no trespass orders that I have, you know, and people despising me because I'm advocating for the elderly and the disabled. And, you know, you think of Dexter Booker, who is still fighting to get her son, Thomas, out of guardianship, being hindered by Gerald Hemnes and Susan Whitney, who charged her mother by the hour when she was her mother's guardian. And, you know, you see things, and just when you think, well, maybe I'm overdoing it, you know, maybe it's not as bad as I think it is, something happens to really set you straight and say, no, you're on the right path. And we've had a lot of good press lately. You know, the piece in the Washington Post, Danielle DeRoss, Adam Walzer came down to Naples to film yesterday's hearing and met with a ward in Lehigh Acres fighting to get out. And there's still a big fight. And with, you know, but our army grows bigger with each passing day. But I won't stop until there's justice for the elderly. Disabled and guardianship is abolished.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Early on in the discussion, it seems about over an hour ago, I guess, I heard, well, it's difficult to believe what is going on until it happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that in the early days, when we first were discovering how much corruption there was, how widespread it was, and forming groups, you know, getting together with people to discuss what could be done. And then we began to reach out to people and let them know what was going on in our courts. And it's so true that it's just difficult to comprehend, difficult to believe until it happens to you. So much so that when we would tell people, well, this is what's going on. They're taking control of people's lives. They're isolating them. They're taking all of their property. They're separating them from their family. And
what
and
were
then
they saying?
Maligning the family. And then these people are held until the day that they're actually killed on a schedule because they need to use that bed for the next victim. And the thing that we heard over and over, more than anything else, constantly was,
they can't do that. yes, they can, and they do.
Yes, they can, and they are doing it. You're right. They can't do that. It's not right.
They can't
There's
do
something
that.
Really wrong with a world in which they can do that.
Yeah.
And it should not be possible. If you or I were to do anything approaching these crimes, they're crimes. We would go to prison for them.
Mm-hmm.
And justly so. It would be right if I'm stealing your grandmother or your mother out of her home, taking that home from the family, from me and my friends, stealing her, all of her property, taking her bank account, spending that money, divvying it up with my friends and associates, and then holding her and keeping anyone from seeing her and extorting money from you so because I'm pretending to negotiate with you with the hope of getting her back or protecting her or doing some good for her. So I'm extorting you, constantly saying, well, come up with more money. You can pay my friend over here, and they'll fight on your behalf, and we'll discuss these things. If I were doing those things, that's an organized crime organization,
mm-hmm.
and it would be perfectly just for me to face the RICO statute, racketeering influence, corrupt organization,
mm-hmm.
that would mean that this is organized crime, and all of the people involved need to go to prison, and because these things are crimes. And
okay.
yet, when you get someone in a nice black dress with a wooden hammer,
okay,
and
we
they
got,
bank that wooden hammer
on here now,
then all of a sudden all these things become legal.
Okay,
I don't think so.
Let's bring some more guests that just called in. Let's do a 210. We actually have a 2109. 2019.
Luann?
You're live?
Uh-huh. Luann? Hi, this is Laura.
Uh-huh.
This is Laura Martinez-Thrash. I just wanted to tell you really, really fast. I want to thank you very much for addressing Lucas this evening. He did reach out to us regarding, you know, his issue, and I'm glad that Leslie helped him. And Leslie, thank you so much, and everyone else. But I just want to make a real quick mention because I'm babysitting, and the baby's going to start talking about presents. His birthday's coming up, as well as my anniversary with Charlie next week. But I want
right.
to tell you that Chris Pettit, the attorney in San Antonio, was arrested, I think, on February 21st. He called it a one-stop shop where he was hired to have a trust and irrevocable wills and investments in real estate, blah, 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 on and on and on. And the police at Fair Oaks Ranch in San Antonio, Texas, caught on to him, to the scheme, and reported him to FBI and the district attorney. And they had an investigation for about a year or so. And his brother, as a result, committed suicide. They closed down the office. They found out oodles and oodles of information about this guy. And finally, after the arrest, I think there were like 40 people in court, in federal court last week or the week before, whenever it happened, trying to, like Lucas said earlier, you know, just trying to see what's in the future. I mean, what can we do, whether we go pro se or what? But we need to gain some money back. He stole millions of dollars, and he did get a 50-year sentence. So that's all I wanted to say tonight. And thank you. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Thank
wow,
you for
Laura,
calling
thank
in.
You.
Thank you. We've got another 210 number. I think I know who this one is. 2103?
You have to open them up.
Okay,
open
hold on. Run.
2103, you're on the air. Hello?
103. Yeah, this is Bill.
Area
Ross.
Code 210.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
welcome.
Bill, welcome.
We welcome Phil Ross. He is another former attorney. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you for having me. I've been listening for the last hour and a half, and I'm really looking forward to being on your show. With Leslie. I've been listening to the show this evening.
Right.
Excellent.
Good. So what do you have to say about things, Bill? I mean, real briefly, I mean, I think I invited you and Leslie to come on. because you're both attorneys that have gone through the same thing. What do you have to say? And by the way, Leslie, this is Gail on the show.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Likewise. I've been listening tonight, and I think it'll be a real good show for us both to participate in coming up in the near future. And I've got a lot of interest and information in pro se litigation because I've been doing a lot of that myself since I've retired my law license.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
also interested in public education to help people be able to deal with lawyers and compete with lawyers. And that's been part of my background.
Yeah, and if anybody can speak, please use your phone. We've got some feedback going on here, please. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I'm sorry about the feedback. I think that's my own computer.
Okay, but yeah, go ahead and turn that down a little bit. But I wanted to, and I think I introduced you about a year ago or maybe longer to Phil Ross. So I'm going to have both of you come on our show probably next week. How does that sound?
Next week sounds great to me.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Okay, so thank you for coming on. I know you have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we're really looking forward to it.
We're really looking forward to it. Thank you for calling in. Okay, Phil?
Sure thing.
Okay, good. Okay, we're going to bring in one more number, and then...
So it's a 330 number. Welcome to the show. You're live and on the air.
Hello, everybody. Is this me?
Hi.
Uh-huh. Hi.
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. This is Kelly. I live in Stark County, Ohio. Is this Hillary? Is your last name Hoax?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. All right. I became aware of probate court fraud when I found about Dr. Sam Sugar's book, and I flew down to Florida for his seminar, and I became good friends with Julie Fleshy and a lot of other people. And so I wanted to call in because there's a lot. My daughter's 21 now. She has cerebral palsy. And I'm going to fight for her life to keep her out of probate court. And I just wanted to call in and say that I've got an attorney that I've done a lot of stuff pro se. Leslie, I've followed a lot of your stuff when you were still a family court lawyer and how difficult that was for you. I think I even messaged you a couple of times. If I think that's who you are. So I've been following this, but I'm quite the probate court advocate, and I thought my daughter was going to be okay with the supported decision-making they have in lieu of guardianship, but not here in Stark County. So I've had to flee my home 4 times in the past month because of the 3-day emergency petition for guardianship and I think I finally got one attorney that's doing her best to keep these people away. And they're part of the Department of Developmental Disabilities. So they go out once these kids turn 18.
Have you talked to Leslie? Leslie, have you talked to her at all?
I don't think so.
No, Leslie, you would have gotten messages from me, but I never got a chance to talk to you. I just was following you because you were having just a heck of a horrible time in court, and you were talking about
the
bar. I think you haven't posted for probably 3 years, maybe 4 years.
Well, I got rid of it. I just got rid of it because they were.
Yeah, I know you were. I just wanted to make sure that was the same person. And I'm talked to Doug down in Georgia. Allie's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Julian Nevada is a good friend of mine. And it was all because that conference I went down to in 2018 or 19 about probate court because I wanted Dr. Sam to know it wasn't just the elderly, it was the kids they were coming after too.
Exactly.
And I thought, yeah, I thought I could keep Bella safe, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
But right, she just turned 21 in January, and sure enough,
favor,
they were
we only
at my
have
house.
About,
yeah.
We only
so
have about another minute or two to the show.
Yeah.
So
I
let's go ahead. Hold on a second. Go ahead. Leslie, tell her how you could get a hold of her because our lines are down right now. Go ahead and put out your website one more time so anybody can get a hold of you and talk to you personally. Go ahead.
Sure. Just go to Family Law Pro Se. It's just Family Law and then prose.com and go to services. And then once you click on services, you'll see appointments. And you just scroll down the page to get to appointments, and you don't have to pay a fee or anything like that. You can just make an appointment.
Okay. So, and I had to cut her off because I don't think I can bring her back in. Yeah, I can't bring her back in. I'm sorry to do that, but our show has just put a flag up and said that's the end of the show. So, thank you, everybody, for coming on tonight. Thank you, Leslie.
We appreciate you.
Remember, it's www.familylawprose.com. And
yes,
get an appointment
thank you guys
with Leslie. Right. Next week, we're going to have Phil to come on as well, Phil Ross and Leslie Federico, two attorneys.
We sure appreciate you joining us again next week as well, Leslie. We're looking forward to that. Remember, everyone, justice and accountability.
And giving up is not an option, especially for those pro se people that Leslie's going to be talking to now. Okay, Leslie, thank you for coming on, and we'll keep in touch with you. Remember, her workshops are on Thursday nights now, and we'll be talking a lot about these workshops, trying to get people over there, trying to get them some help so we can stop a lot of this nonsense going on in our court. Mm. So anyway, thank you. And Hillary, always thank you. Thank you, Marcy, for always coming on. Appreciate you.
And thank you to all of our audience.
Yeah.
Remember, if you're out there, we are with you. We stand with you to oppose the oppression of people by these courts. And you're not alone. And
right.
We're living proof of that.
Right. We'll see you again next week, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
We're going to play the NASA. Everybody.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.